These parshiyos, the parshiyos, the beginning of Bereishis, are full of divrei Torah. There's no lack. You can open up any sefer, and there's tons of vertlach and divrei Torah for every style, for every palate. But sometimes I feel like it's important to, instead of saying specific divrei Torah about specific parshiyos or specific stories in Chumash Bereishis, it's important sometimes to lay down the foundations of what our attitude is to this group of parshiyos. The Ramban calls Sefer Bereishis the Sefer of the Avos. Sefer of the Avos. Most of Chumash Bereishis is about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. A lot of little different stories. There was hungers. Avraham and Yitzchak both had hungers. Avraham and Yitzchak both dug wells. All kinds of stories about their wells. Some stories seem to us obvious what's so important about them, and some of them that we don't even understand what's so. Avraham came into Eretz Yisrael. He went to Shechem. And then he went to here, and then he went to there. Like, we don't really, as much as we're very machshav Avraham Avinu, but we don't know why we should care exactly what his route was through Eretz Yisrael. The four kings against the five kings, a whole long story. Avraham beat the four kings, and how he beat them, and there were ditches, and tar, and all kinds of details about Avraham's war with the four kings. Again, you know, it's very important to know, I guess, that Avraham was such a gibor that he can battle four strong kings, but what's going on over there? So I want to talk a little bit more basically. We'll talk about some specific things. But I want to talk a little bit more basically. We're opening up Parshas Lech Lecha and Rest Hashem this week. We're starting to talk about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is back on the horizon. And Rest Hashem Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov. And it's beautiful stories, and we get chizuk, and we'll hear wonderful divrei Torah. And, you know, people are at their most prolific. You know, this is Chumash Bereishis. It's full of the Divrei Torah and Diyukim and Musar and Limudim. But let's try to lay down some groundwork, some foundation of what our attitude is as we learn these parashiyos. Tana Dvei Eliyahu says that a person is chayev to say, chayev odom loymar, a person is chayev to say, Masa yagiyu maisai lemaisai avoisai. When will my actions reach the actions of my forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov? A person is chayav to ask himself, he's obligated to ask himself, when will my actions reach the actions of my forefathers? It doesn't seem realistic. It doesn't seem realistic. I don't know any Avraham Avinus. I've never met them. I don't think in the last many centuries there's been an Avraham Avinu. It feels kind of silly after so many centuries of not having seen an Avraham, Yitzchak, or Yaakov, that little me should ask myself, when am I, my actions going to be like those of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? I don't think it's in the realm of our Bechira to be like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. In taking note of the strengths that we have, of the kaychas that we have, of the abilities that we have to hope to be, to shtayg very much, and to accomplish very, very much. But to be like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov seems to be a little bit beyond what, you know, it's asking too much of us. If our Rebbe or someone older than us would tell us, be like Avraham Avinu, we'd say, come on, I can't be like Avraham Avinu. Set a lower goal. Be like Avraham Avinu. There was only one Avraham Avinu. So I'd like to understand what this means. Chayev Adam Leimer. A person is obligated to say. We'll try to discover today what that's about. There's an interesting diuk if you read through Masechta Avos. You read through Parakeh in Pirkei Avos, so the talk says over there that there were 10 Dairas from Noach until Avram. And for whatever the mission is discussing, Asar Dairas mi Noach ad Avram. Which Avram? Maybe there's many, many Avrams. So we're supposed to know that it's Avraham Avinu. We're supposed to understand that it's Avraham Avinu. But in the next Mishnah, it says, Asar Nesiyonis Nisnase Avraham Avinu. 10 tests Avraham Avinu, Avram our father, was tested. One second. If without Avinu, I'm not going to know who it is. So why did the Mishnah wait until the second time it mentioned Avram to say that it's Avram Avinu? If in the second Mishnah it has to say Asar, and it has to say Avram, which one? Oh, Avram Avinu. So then in the Mishnah before, when it said Asar Adaris Minayach Ve'ad Avram, it should have said Asar Adaris Minayach Ve'ad Avram Avinu. And then later on, you don't have to say it when you're talking to someone. So you say Shaya Gross. I'll say Shaya Gross. And then from then on in the conversation, I'll say Shaya. I won't say Shia 10 times, and then I'll say Shia Gross. It doesn't make any sense. So same thing in the Mishnah. Don't start off saying Avram and then say Avram Avinu. You want to say which Avram it is, so then start off saying Avram Avinu and then say Avram. It's a diuk, and the first Mishnah is diuk in the Mishnah. Okay, we'll get back to these diukim. The Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha, he does something that's rare for the Ramban, even for the Ramban, and he makes a hakdama, which is really what we're looking for. So this is the place to look. He makes a hakdama. He says, "Oymer lecha klal." I'm going to tell you a rule. Tavin oisay bechol haparshias habois. Understand this rule in all the coming parshias. Keep this rule in mind. And when we're talking about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the hu inyan gadol. This is a very big inyan. This is a very important idea. And he proceeds to bring a medrash tanchuma. The tanchuma says, "Kol masheira laavos simen labanim." Everything that happened to the avos is a simen for what's going to happen to the children. Which is the klal that we've heard called Maisa Avosim and Labanim. The stories that happen to the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, are simanim, are hints, or Rashi Prakim, or precursors to things that are going to happen eventually to their children. Maisa Avosim and Labanim. And he goes, you have to look it up, he goes very deep Ramban, he goes into why it helps that the Avos did these actions. But the general idea of it is that as the others went through each one of their nisyonos or did certain actions, it injected into the children the strength to be able to do those things and to be able to accomplish those accomplishments. And we'll get more back to that in a few minutes. And the Ramban says, and that's why, if you're wondering why the psukim go through so much arichus, why it spent so much time going through, they dug wells and they went here and they went there and they traveled here and they did this and they made a treaty with this one. What's the point of all that? We may not understand the significance of each one, but each one is setting the tone and establishing establishing a strength or establishing the beginning of something that's going to be continued and brought out into the open by the children. And in Parashas Lech Lecha, there's three stories that the Ramban himself gives examples. Sounds a little bit vague, sounds a little esoteric. The Ramban himself explains the Maisa Avos Simen Labanim of three stories in Parashas Lech Lecha. Firstly, what we started with, the beginning of Parashas Lech Lecha, Hashem tells Avram, Lech Lecha Meyartzecha, he comes to Eretz Yisrael, Vayavar Avram Ba'aretz, and Avram passed into the land, Ad Mekayim Shechem, until Shechem, until the city of Shechem, the place of the city of Shechem. And then it says, V'haKanani Oz Ba'aretz, the Canaan was still in the land. So the Ramban says, he says on his own, he says, V'ani Moisef, and I'm adding, he brings a couple of pshatim, he says, V'ani Moisef, and I'm adding, that the reason why this happened is because Hashem wanted that when Yidden come into Eretz Yisrael, before they conquer Eretz Yisrael, the first place they should take is Shechem. So hundreds and hundreds of years later, when Klal Yisrael is going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to come into Eretz Yisrael after having left Mitzrayim and after having spent 40 years in the desert, they're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, the first place they're going to conquer, he says, Yichbishu Hamokei Mahu Tchila. The area of Shechem is the place that they're going to hit first. And in order to kind of help out Klal Yisrael, to create the strength, to create the precedent, that it should be easy for Klal Yisrael to take that route that Hashem wanted. So Avram the father had to do a similar thing hundreds of years earlier, and Avram came into Eretz Yisrael, and he went first till Shechem, even though the Kanani was still Ba'aretz, so even though he hadn't conquered the rest of Eretz Yisrael. But the first place is till Shechem. Maisa Avos Simen Labanim. Somehow, you could look at the Ramban, somehow, when the Avos, when Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov have certain experiences and do certain things, listening to the will of Hashem, it creates in the children, it's almost like they were building a genetic map of Klal Yisrael. It's almost like they were building the chromosomes. If you would watch a scientist sit down and build chromosomes, build DNA until he has a gene map? What's it called? What's the name for it? You know, a map of someone's genes, and then you would create that person according to those genes. That's Maisa Avos in the Bona. Maisa Avos is creating, is assembling the DNA, assembling the internal strengths that a person has, and then when the person is born and the person has those strengths, it comes out into the open. So the Avos were injecting, were inserting into the neshama of Yidden certain strengths, that years and years later, those strengths will be part of their mentality. And we'll come back to this again. Another parasha, later on in Parashas Lech Lecha, the next thing, there was a hunger. We all know the story. There was a hunger in Eretz Canaan. It was an amazing nisayon for Avram Avinu. He left his entire background, he left his family, he left everything to listen to Hashem, to come to Eretz Yisrael, and as soon as he gets there, there's a hunger and he has to leave. It's a very, very big nisayon. So the Ramban talks about the Maisa Avesim and Labanim of that parasha. I'm going to add a few things that the Ramban doesn't say explicitly that I've seen in other places. I'm going to tell you in this story, I'm going to tell you 8 things that are Maisa Avesim and Labanim, that when Avram went down to Mitzrayim and then came back, it was setting the stage for eventually the Jews going down to Mitzrayim and coming out. Start from the beginning. Avram went down to Mitzrayim. Aleph, Avram went down to Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim. Beis, Avram went down to Mitzrayim because of the hunger. Yaakov and his children went down to Mitzrayim also because of the hunger. Number 3, Avram went down specifically temporarily. He didn't change where he lived. He went down for this purpose of temporarily living in Mitzrayim. And as we know, when Klal Yisrael went down, in the Haggadah we say it out, that they went Lagur, Loy Lehishtakeya, Lagur Shem. So the children also only went temporarily, just like their forefather. When Avram was only able to leave Mitzrayim after HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicted Paroi with afflictions. And so too the children were only able to leave Mitzrayim after the Mitzrayim were afflicted with afflictions. They had Makas. So Paroi had a Makkah, and then years later Paroi had a Makas again. 10 Makas. By Avram was worried that, he says, tells to Sarah, me they will kill and you they will keep alive. For what purpose? Business, for marriage. Sure enough, and that's what they would have done. Avram Baruch Hashem was matzliach to get around that, but that would have been the plan of Mitzrayim. Sure enough, years and years later, there was a gzeir on Klal Yisrael. Kol haben hayilod hayoyret hashlichu. Any son that's born should be killed, just like Avram being killed, the male being killed. V'chol habas techayin, keep the daughters alive, and the Medrash says over there, fiznus. So just like Sarah was kept alive, fiznus, so too the Mitzrayim wanted the daughters of Klal Yisrael years later to be kept alive, fiznus. Maisa avay semen labanim. Avram left, berchush gada, he left with tremendous wealth, servants, money, he left with tremendous wealth. Everybody knows Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. V'achar kach yetzu berchush gadol. Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim also laden with gold and silver and servants and behemoths and they left Mitzrayim very wealthy. They came down. They left Mitzrayim much wealthier than they came. Paroi got Avram out of Mitzrayim as quick as possible. Hinei ishtecha kach v'leich. Here's your wife. Take her and out of here. Get out of here. The Mepharshim explain why. And everybody knows that when the Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Paroi told Moshe Rabbeinu, get out of here as fast as possible. They kicked Klal Yisrael out as fast as possible. He wanted Makas Bechoris to end. Paroi was afraid it would hit him eventually. He wanted to get him out of there. When Avram left Mitzrayim, it says that Paroi sent along people with him. Mitzrayim went along with him. By Yitzav Paroi Anoshim. Paroi told people to escort Avram out. Sure enough, when Klal Yisrael left many years later, the Gam Erev Rav, Olu Itam, a bunch of Mitzrayim came out with them. Maisa Avay, Simon Labanim. Those are 8 things. There are more, but those are 8 things. Exact repetition of history. Avram's going down to Mitzrayim and coming out, the Yidden going down to Mitzrayim and having Yitzias Mitzrayim. Move on to another parasha. There's something very, very significant about this third example. Avram Avinu, there's a milchama between 4 kings and 5 kings. And the 4 kings win. And the Farshim say, to show us how strong they are, that they won over the 5 kings. And then then Avram Avinu goes to war with them. Light was captured, he wants to free Light. Avram Avinu goes to war with them, he battles with 4 kings, and he wins. Says the Ramban, the Jewish nation is going to have to suffer through Golos of 4 kingdoms, as we know. Bavel, Paros Umadai, Edom, and Yavan. The Klal Yisrael is going to have to suffer through 4 different Golias, 4 different kingdoms. We're now in hopefully the tail end of the Golos of Edom, of Rome. This Golos started with Rome. And because there are 4 kings, 4 kingdoms, Malchias, 4 kingdoms, that Klal Yisrael is going to have to suffer through until eventually they survive and they come out even stronger from each one of them, the Maisa Avos of that is Avram Avinu going to war with 4 kings, and succeeding to be menatzeach, to be victorious over all of them. Hamaisa hazeh ira la'avram, the Ramban says, this story happened to Avram lahayrois to show. Ki dalid malchiyos ta'amoid na'limshal ba'olam. Four kingdoms will get up to rule in the world. Ubesayf, and the end will be Yisgabru banav aleihem. His sons will become stronger than them. Ve'yiplu kulam biyadam, and they'll all fall into the hands of Klal Yisrael. And then the Ramban goes on to explain how you could see from the names of the kings which countries they represent, which kingdoms they represent. There's a big chiddush in that, because we just stepped over a very important line, and that is until now we were talking about Ma'aseh Avos Siman LeBanim. That what happened to the earlier Avos happened to the Banim, but that's also history. Now we see that there are Ma'aseh Avos Siman LeBanim that didn't happen yet. We weren't yet Mizgavra on that fourth kingdom. It didn't happen yet. So that means that there are things going on in Parshas Bereishis, and by the Rambans, by the wells, you see the same thing, because one of them is the third Beis Hamikdash. There are things that are going on in Chumash Bereishis. It's an incredible thing to realize. There are Ma'aseh Avos. There are things that our forefathers went through in Chumash Bereishis that yet did not yet come out into Ma'aseh in the sons. We're still living the Ma'aseh Avos. Mir Hashem, soon Mashiach will come and will be Menatzeach over Edom, and that will be the roots of that will be Avraham Avinu fighting the four kings. And who knows how many things happen in the history of Klal Yisrael that we don't pick up on, that are reflections of things that Avraham Avinu went through, that Yitzchak went through, or that Yaakov went through. Yaakov went out into Golus, that's the Ma'aseh Avos in the bottom of going to Golus, and so on. It's an incredible thing. And the reason why I find that to be a tremendous chiddush is because we learn Chumash Bereishis, we have to realize the things that are happening in Chumash Bereishis are right now affecting us. Right now. The proof is that there are things that happened there that didn't happen yet. Right, there's Ma'aseh Avos that the Siman Labanim didn't happen yet. The Ma'aseh Avos are being piled in us right now. Our ability to withstand the pressures, we'll see soon, our ability to withstand the pressures of Golus, our ability to be Oymen and Nisyonis, what Klal Yisrael goes through in history, somewhere, somehow, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov have been through it, and they've given us the strength to sustain ourselves through it. It's still alive. The Ma'aseh Avos are still alive. There's another important step, and that is that we're talking, everything that we said until now was true on a national level. The four kings, Klal Yisrael and Golus, on a national level. It's an incredible thing, it's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Mishalech betumay tzaddik. When a tzaddik goes b'shleimus, acts the way he should in front of Hashem, Ashrei bonav acharav, fortunate are his sons after him. When someone becomes a tzaddik, someone listens to the Rebbeinu Shlom, his children are fortunate. And Reb Chaim Volozhin says that this pasuk is referring to the Avos. And he says that when the Avos went through certain nesyonos, the Avos had certain tests, certain challenges that they had to push through. They had to work very hard to push through these challenges. It gave the children, and we're the children, the ability to be able to deal with the same types of challenges and to be able to be Oymed B'Nisayon a little easier. They already, it's like the difference between hacking your way through the forest to make a path and finding a path through the forest. Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov already hacked their way through the dense forest, and now we have a path to go on. It's a little bit easier to walk through. It may be a difficult walk, but it's a little bit easier to walk through. And Reb Chaim Volozhin brings a few examples. He says, we find Yidden throughout history, unlearned Yidden, Pashut Yidden, Amaratzim, often, that when their challenge was presented to them to leave Yiddishkeit or to be killed, they, without any suffix, without any hesitation, allowed themselves to be led to be killed. He says, where does the strength come from? It doesn't make any sense. You're not talking about someone who's seen the beauty of Torah. People who haven't seen the beauty of Torah. People don't know what Torah is all about, don't know what Mitzvah is all about. It's just in their blood. It's in their blood. I know someone once told me of a relative of his who's not from, a woman, wasn't from, an older woman, and completely not from, completely assimilated, and her children were also completely assimilated. And she told her children with full emes, she said, if one of you come home with a non-Jewish spouse, I'm going to jump out a window. I'm warning you now, you will have a dead mother. Where does that come from? Where does that come from? Completely assimilated. Where does it come from? Where does it come from? The ability to... And if you know the stories of the Holocaust and previously, there are times that people were not from. They did not keep Torah and Mitzvahs. But when they were presented with, step on a Sefer Torah, Chalila, or do something against another Yid, or, you know, betray your religion, someone who never kept a Shabbos in his life was able and willing to be killed. Okay, HaKadosh Hashem. Where does the strength come from? It's not our strength. Where does the strength come from? So Dr. Chaim Volozhin, it comes from the fact that the genes are there. The genes are there. It's in the blood. Because Avraham Avinu was faced with being Moisei Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem. And he jumped into the fire. He jumped into the Kivshan HaEsh by Ur Kasdim. Avraham Avinu was ready to jump into the fire, al Kiddush Hashem. He didn't know he would be saved. That's what I'm pointing out. Not that don't worry, I'll be saved. He didn't know he would be saved. He jumped in the fire. He was ready to be killed. He was ready to be killed. That strength, that's very, very hard for a person to do, but after Avraham Avinu did it, now it's there, it's in our blood. And we have the strength to do incredible Mesiras Nefesh. Rav Chaim Volozhin continues, he says, sometimes you find a person who suddenly has a tremendous desire to go to Eretz Yisrael. Suddenly he's overtaken. He wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. Either to visit Eretz Yisrael, to live in Eretz Yisrael. Suddenly, he just wants to create a connection with Eretz Yisrael. He just wants to have that connection with Eretz Yisrael. Where does that come from? And he says it doesn't make any sense. He says there's no nation in the world that could be so many years away from their homeland and still have, like we see, Maisim B'chol Yayim, today's generation, people have this incredible connection to a land that they didn't live on, their parents didn't live on, their grandparents didn't live on. For hundreds of years, their family hasn't lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they just miss that connection. Where does that come from? He says there's no nation in the world that hundreds of years after they left the country, it's like, oh, you see that dot on the map? I'm Amish, I love that dot on the map. A dangerous place, you know, like, where does it come from? It comes from a forefather of ours that heard the call of Lech Lecha, Nefesh HaChaim says. He heard the Rabbanim Shlomim say Lech Lecha, and he left everything to follow Hashem and to go to Eretz Yisrael. And that injected into our blood a chavivus for Eretz Yisrael and a desire to be there. It's in our blood. Where did it come from? It's not. This is not the type of thing that you can go sit down with someone and try to figure out where in your past it comes from that you feel a kesher to Eretz Yisrael. It's too far back in the past. It's in our blood. It's part of our genetic makeup. We have a cheshek to be in Eretz Yisrael. Chaim Volozhin continues. He says, many times you find people that go through the most difficult of Yisurim. They go through difficult situations. And sometimes those difficult situations, they seem like it would break anybody. Situations that would break anybody. There's just no... How does the person keep going? How does the person keep davening to Hashem after everything Hashem does to him? Where does this come from, this strength? Someone was telling me last week about a woman in Eretz Yisrael who became a Balas Tshuva. She became completely frum. And right after that, she got sick. Someone in her family died. Like, well, everything started hitting her then. And she's still frum. She's still frum and she's still happy. Where does that strength come from? Where does the strength come from to hold on to Yiddishkeit and to hold on to the Rabbanei Shlom, to hold on to Torah and Mitzvahs with Emuna? People, unfortunately, and Bizmaneinu also, people suffer the worst Yisurim. There's terrible Yisurim out there. People suffer. And people still stay strong. Where does it come from? It says it comes from an Avraham Avinu who came to Eretz Yisrael after leaving everything in his life. Shows up in Eretz Yisrael and there's nothing to eat because it's Vayehi Rav Ba'aretz. And he doesn't ask any questions on Hashem. He doesn't say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is where you send me? That's what you do? You send me to a country and there's nothing to eat? No questions. Avraham Avinu doesn't ask questions. And that injected into our blood the strength to fregnish kankashis, to not ask questions, which he didn't have deep inside them. We don't ask questions. We know the Rosh Hashanah is out for our best. We don't ask questions. It's not our strength. We're too small for that type of strength. The strength is bigger than us. But it's in our blood because we're B'nai Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. This is a tremendous, tremendous thing for us to realize that we walk around in a world of such a small world. People are small in this generation. It's a generation of small people. But we're all hidden giants. We're all hidden inside of us is such greatness. and it's still alive inside of us. We see the Maisa of Asim and Labanim is still happening. It's still alive inside of us. In my blood is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So when I open up the Chumash and I'm learning Lech Lecha, Vayeruch, Aisara, some things I understand, some things I don't understand, this Vertlech and Divrei Torah and Musar and all the things that are important to learn in the Parshias, but we have to learn it with the attitude of, that's me. When I see a gewaldige thing about Avram Avinu, I hear a tremendous chiddush about Yitzchak, or I discover something that profound about Yaakov, those roots are in me. It's about me. This is not something that we have a tradition to learn a certain set of stories every year to get moral guidance. It's not what this is about. This is our family. But it's more than just our family. This is us. This is us. This is someone telling you, here on a piece of paper is what makes up you. You want to know what you are? B'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Learn about Avram, learn about Yitzchak, and learn about Yaakov, and you'll know what the strengths you have inside of you. Each person on their own level, but each person has Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov cooking inside them. So now we understand our problem with Avram and Avram Avinu. Everyone knows who Avram is. The Mishnah doesn't have to tell us who Avram is. There were 10 generations from Noach till Avram. You don't have to tell me who Avram is. But when it says Avram Avinu went through 10 tests, the Mishnah wants us to know it's Avram, our father. Those tests are rooted in us. Those accomplishments inject kayach into us. It's Avram, it's not just some Avram. It's our father, it's Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu passed 10 tests, that means that we have the strength of those passing of 10 tests, we have that strength pulsating inside of us. It's Avram Avinu, it's not to identify him, and we don't think it's Avram Friedman. Of course it's Avram Avinu. But we want to point out, it's not, you're not just reading in the Mishnah and Avos an incredible thing about Avram. You're reading an incredible thing about yourself. You're reading an incredible thing about the kaychas that you have. It's Avram Avinu. Taisus Yantas says this, or Chaim Volozhin says it. So that means that the part of our job in this world, if we just to put it in terms of this chiddush, is to bring the avos out in us, to bring out the avos in us. Sometimes a person goes through a time in his life that he has to make changes, difficult changes in his life. Lamashal, a person has to make difficult changes in his life. Sometimes they're external changes, sometimes they're internal changes, sometimes they're noticeable to other people, sometimes they're not noticeable. A person has to make big changes sometimes in his life. He doesn't have to look outside himself to find strength to do such a difficult thing. There was once an Avram Avinu who was told, Lech lecha, mi'artzecha, mi'mayladetecha, mi'beis avicha, leave everything, make the most massive change, leave your family, leave your background, leave everything that's familiar to you and go to a strange place. And I'm not even telling you where. El ha'oret asher areka. I'm not even telling you where the final destination is. And Avram Avinu did that. And Avram Avinu hacked his way through the forest. Now there's a path in front of us. And it gives us the strength that we can... We're looking inside ourselves for this strength. It's there. It's inside of us. Sometimes a person has the ability to bring it out easier. And sometimes the others are more hiding inside of him. Sometimes that a person can't be matzliach to pass the test, so can't be matzliach to accomplish what he should. So that means that the Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov are hiding inside of him. They're deeper below the surface. When a person works hard to accomplish those accomplishments, so Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov are on the surface. They've broken through the surface. An amazing Sfasemis. The Sfasemis says, the Pasuk says in, about the, when the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, the Pasuk says, Vayoreu lanu hamitzrim v'la avoseinu. The Mitzrim did bad to us and to our forefathers and to our fathers. Now, when Klal Yisrael is talking, it's us. They did it to us and to our fathers. What does that mean? Oh, they did it to us. It was the Dar HaMidbar that he's talking about. They did it to us. So the Pasha Pshat is that there was two generations. There's a generation that came out of Mitzrayim, and then there's the generation that were very young when they came out of Mitzrayim, and they weren't killed out by the Chet HaEgel. So there were two generations. But the Sfasemis says, whenever it says Avoseinu, it's referring to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he says the Mitzrayim caused such a spiritual decline in Judaism that Vayareu lanu amitzrim, they did bad to us, v'la Avoseinu, and to the others that are inside of us. They damaged the Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that's inside of us. They sunk lower below the surface, with less, a little bit less accessible. He says on another pasuk also, says we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vatera es ani aveseinu b'mitzrayim. You saw the poverty, the pain of our fathers in Mitzrayim. So he says that fathers is also talking about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You saw that the others in us was impoverished, wasn't as strong as it should be. It's only obvious, you know, the Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in us wasn't breaking the surface, wasn't accomplishing what it should. It's only obvious, you know, be Mitzrayim. So the Svarim say, many Svarim are mechavin to the same shot we started with. A person has to say, Chayiv Odom Leimer, a person is obligated to say, Masa Yagiyo Maisei L'Maisei Avoisei, when will my actions reach the actions of my forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? It doesn't mean that we have to be Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's not what it means. It means that my actions have to be a reflection of the genes that are inside me. Masa Yagiyo Maisei L'Maisei, when will they be, when will my actions reflect that connection? Will they be magia? Will they reflect that connection to the actions of my forefathers? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did tremendous actions. We can't hope to be like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But we can hope that our actions will be a proper reflection of someone who's the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. An amazing thing, we're going to start now in Yeshiva, we're starting the 7th Perek of Mitzvah. The first Mishnah in the 7th Perek says a halacha, the unbelievable hashgacha to start this. And Parshas Lech Lecha, we're not starting from that Mishnah, but in theory, the Mishnah says like this: there was a story. Who was it? Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya. Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya told his son to hire workers, Jewish workers, to work for him. So his son went, and he hired workers, and he made up with them that he's going to feed them. That was part of the contract. Here's the salary, and you're going to get food. Lunch will be served. So he came back to his father and he told his father, these were the terms of our contract. His father said, what did you do? What did you do? He said, Bini, my son, you'll never find enough food for these people. Even if you give them the amount of food that Shlaima Melech ate when he served his student, the Pesukim say, what a tremendous amount of food he had, you still are Yatzasa Yedechavos, it's still not enough for them. Why? Shehem b'nei Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, because they're the children of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. And the Rashi Sudas, he brings the Gemara later, and Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov's Sudas, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov's meals were much, much more even than Shlaima HaMelech. Avram served, they make all kinds of calculations, the Gemara makes all kinds of calculations, Avram Avinu served by his meals even more than Shlaima HaMelech. What on earth does this mean? So because 3,000 years ago, my forefather had a tremendous appetite, so therefore, you have to be careful if you make up to give me food, because nothing's going to be enough for me. You know, sometimes people with big appetites give birth to people with not such big appetites, especially 3,000 years later. I don't know if you have to be so worried about the fact that Avram Yitzchak Yaakov had big appetites. So what? It's not so easy to figure out. I'm not coming to say absolute pshat in this Mishnah. It's a difficult something to think about. Rav Tzadik says about this Mishnah that the more alive somebody is, the more he has to eat. Right? A little baby who's not so big, doesn't function that much, doesn't do that much, eats very little. But someone who's older eats more. A bigger person needs more to sustain him than a smaller person. He says the others were so alive, so tremendously alive, that they need a lot of nutrition. Still, this is not answering the shot in the Mishnah 100%. But I just want to bring out a point from this Mishnah. Just a point, just an amazing point. The fact that we're the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov makes a absolute practical applications today. We are the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's not something that happened 3,000 years ago. That's what the Mishnah is saying. You better watch out what kind of deal you made with them. They're the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's history. No, it's not history, it's alive today. Pumping inside every single yid is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, is the life of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the midas of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the strengths of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And if you make a deal with a yid, you're making a deal with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Shehem b'nei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's the Pashup Shad in the Mishnah. However we're going to understand this difficult Mishnah, but that's what the Mishnah is saying, that when you make a deal with a yid, you have to be careful, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Even though it was 3,000 years ago, the Mishnah is not dated. You know, this applies until 1930. You know, the Mishnah is until Ad Olam. The Yidden are Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Incredible thing. I heard once an odd comment that I thought was an odd comment until I got more involved in these parashas and I understood it a little better. My brother went to eat by by Meir Shashiva once, a Shabbos Suda. And he sits down by the Shabbos Suda and his parashas Lech Lecha. And he sits down by the Shabbos Suda and my Rosh Hashiva says, and for a long time I was like, that's a little strange. He goes, ah, Baruch Hashem, we're back with Avraham Avinu. Like, something wrong with Nayach? Something wrong with Bria Sa'olam? Like, Baruch Hashem, we're back with Avraham Avinu. But now that we discuss this, we understand, this is us. Avraham is saying, this is a Nayach, this is all pre-Klal Yisrael. But Avraham, not to take away from the Hashivas of Parashas Bereishis and Parashas Nayach, but when it comes to Parashas Lech Lecha, we come emotionally, we come alive a little bit. This is us. This is about us. Watch out from these guys. Shehem b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. This is about us. Parashas Lech Lecha, this is reading our family history. Imagine if you were able to read, my grandfather did such and such and such, went here, went there, through the war. You're able to read the history of your family. That's what we have, Parashas Lech Lecha. It's us. The strengths, the accomplishments, the nesyonos, the difficulties, the aliyah, it's us. We feel Hamish. Reading Chumash to Kriyas HaTorah, it's not like, oh my gosh, long parasha this week, you know, to sit through Kriyas HaTorah. I'm reading, this is like shooting energy into me, these stories. I think it's a good chizuk when people go through difficult times, when people have big challenges ahead, and sometimes we ask ourselves, this is too big for me. This is just too big. I can't handle this nisayon. I finally hit a nisayon, it's too big for me, I can't handle it. We have to realize that it's not just us. If it was just us, that might be true. But we have big genes. We have very, 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 very heilige, powerful genes inside of us. Ma'isa avos simen labanim. We have to remember, watch out. We have big appetites. We're b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov.